Lina ran back to Garn Square, passing a group of believers on the way. They were standing in a circle holding hands, singing one of their cheerful songs. It seemed to Lina there were more believers than ever these days. What they believed in, she didn't know, but it must make them happy. They were always smiling. Her next customer turned out to be Mrs. Polster, the teacher of the fourth-year class. In Mrs. Polster's class, they memorized passages from the Book of the City of Ember every week. Mrs. Polster had charts on the walls for everything, with everyone's name listed. If you did something right, she made a green dot by your name. If you did something wrong, she made a red dot.
"What you need to learn, children," she always said in her resonant, precise voice, "is the difference between right and wrong in every area of life. And once you learn the difference."
Here she would stop and point to the class, and the class would finish the sentence. "You must always choose the right." In every situation, Mrs. Polster knew what the right choice was. Now here was Mrs. Polster again, looming over Lina and pronouncing her message.
"To Anisette Lefrond, 39 Hum Street, as follows," she said. "My confidence in you has been seriously diminished since I heard about the disreputable activities in which you engaged on Thursday last. Please repeat."
It took Lina three tries to get this right.
"Uh-oh, a red dot for me," she said.
Mrs. Polster did not seem to find this amusing. Lina had 19 customers that first morning. Some of them had ordinary messages. "I can't come on Tuesday. Buy a pound of potatoes on your way home. Please come and fix my front door." Others had messages that made no sense to her at all, like Mrs. Polster's. But it didn't matter. The wonderful part about being a messenger was not the messages, but the places she got to go. She could go into the houses of people she didn't know, and hidden alleyways and little rooms in the backs of stores. In just a few hours, she discovered all kinds of strange and interesting things. For instance, Mrs. Sample, the mender, had to sleep on her couch because her entire bedroom, almost up to the ceiling, was crammed with clothes to be mended. Dr. Felinia Tower had the skeleton of a person hanging against her living room wall, its bones all held in place with black strings.
"I study it," she said when she saw Lina staring. "I have to know how people are put together."
At a house on Kalu Street, Lina delivered a message to a worried-looking man whose living room was completely dark.
"I'm saving on light bulbs," the man said.
And when Lina took a message to the Can Cafe, she learned that on certain days the back room was used as a meeting place for people who liked to converse about great subjects.
"Do you think an invisible being is watching over us all the time?" she heard someone ask.
"Perhaps," answered someone else.
There was a long silence.
"And then again, perhaps not."
All of it was interesting. She loved finding things out and she loved running. And even by the end of the day, she wasn't tired. Running made her feel strong and big-hearted. It made her love the places she ran through and the people whose messages she delivered. She wished she could bring all of them the good news they so desperately wanted to hear. Late in the afternoon, a young man came up to her, walking with a sort of sideways lurch. He was an odd-looking person. He had a very long neck, with a bump in the middle, and teeth so big they looked as if they were trying to escape from his mouth. His black, bushy hair stuck out from his head in untidy tufts.
"I have a message for the mayor at the gathering hall," he said.
He paused to let the importance of this be understood.
"The mayor," he said. "Did you get that?"
"I got it," said Lina.
All right. Listen carefully. Tell him delivery at 8 from Looper. Repeat it back.
Delivery at 8 from Looper,
Lina repeated. It was an easy message.
All right. No answer required.
He handed her 20 cents and she sprinted away.